الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 24th of September in the year 2017 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 132nd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. And I spent the session last night mentioning a few of his blessed exhortations with regards to the important subject of gratitude. And as a report, which I should have mentioned yesterday, which is really a priceless dua, and the report is recorded in Bayhaqi, and it's a sahih hadith. And the translation of the dua, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever makes this dua, he has thanked his Lord sufficiently for his blessings. And the translation is, all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sufficed me and gave me a boat. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fed me and gave me drink. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who favored me with his generosity. And O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you by your dignity to save me from the fire. Ameen. So this is a sahih hadith. And it's the dua of gratitude mentioned by our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, discussing the subject of the words of wisdom of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. It would thus not come as a surprise to learn that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu would hold the learned most dear. So this report, I think I mentioned a few weeks prior, but it's relevant, I'll mention it again. In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 2016. Ash-Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi relates, Qa'ab ibn Sur rahmatullah alayhi was sitting with Umar radiyallahu when a woman arrived and she said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu, I have never seen a man better than my husband. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prays during the night and he fasts during the day. Upon hearing this, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, who praised the woman and supplicated for her, and she thus shyly departed. So stop in the report. So this woman came, and apparently she just praised her husband. She said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, my husband, there's nobody like him. He prays during the night, and he fasts during the day. So Umar goes, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, and she left. Qa'ab ibn Sur, rahmatullah alayh, he thereupon said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu, should you not have considered her accusation against her husband? For she indeed was quite eloquent in her complaint. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu replied, why do you not thus now judge between them? For you have understood about her situation that which I did not. So Qa'ab ibn Sur rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I view her situation as if she has three co-wives. My judgment is therefore to allow her husband 3 days and nights for worship and 1 day and night for her. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu thereupon said with joy, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your first understanding of her situation is not more amazing than the second, i.e. your judgment. I hereby appoint you as judge over Al-Basra, for indeed you are a remarkable judge. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith in Ibn Abi Shayb. So this is how eloquent the people were. The woman could have simply said this, my husband is neglecting Amir al-Mu'mineen. Could you have a word with him? But she said it in a way that she thought she'd get the message across. He prays during the night and he fasts during the day. Meaning he has no time for me. So obviously Sayyidina Umar said, Alhamdulillah, you know, mashallah, you're a lucky woman. Waqab ibn Sur, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, she's been very eloquent in her complaint. But she's complaining. So Umar then goes, well, what do you suggest? And he basically said, he hasn't got four wives. But if he did have four wives, he'd have to spend one out of 4 days with her. So if he wants to pray all night and fast, he can do it for 3 days, but one day he must give to his wife. And look at Umar's response, radiyallahu. Your first understanding is not more amazing than the second. Meaning you understood what I didn't see. And your judgment is even more amazing. But then, the pleasure man, I thereby appoint you as judge over Al-Basra. For indeed you are a remarkable judge. So he had no entertainment in his heart that he wanted to be a judge. But Umar goes, you now go, you're the judge of Basra. So now what do we know about this man? Qa'ab ibn Isur rahmatullah alayh. This noble judge of Basra was later martyred years later whilst trying to bring peace prior to the Battle of the Kaf. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha went out on her camel full of hope that the people would still listen to what she had to say due to her position amongst them. This is in Abd al-Razak in his Al-Musannaf, volume 5, page 456, with a Sahih channel transmission. So what happened? Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha handed a mushaf, a copy of the Quran, to Qa'ab ibn Isur, the same man, rahmatullah alayh. And he called upon Ali's forces by saying, in Al-Bidaya, volume 7, page 253, O people, I am Qa'ab ibn Isur, the judge of Basra. I invite you to the Quran and to practice what is in it and to seek peace based upon it. The mischief mongers fearing Qa'ab's attempt in succeeding shot at him altogether with their arrows. He was martyred with the mushaf still in his hand. So now you know this person is, otherwise your job long's got shot. So he's been the judge there from Umar's Khilafat. Imagine. So how many years educated? Yes, 5-6 years. Then he had another 10 years in Uthman's Khilafat. He's been the judge for 20 years. And he said to the people, he goes, there's no need for combat. He goes, the Quran will decide. And he lifted the mushaf up. Both the shayateen on Sayyidina Ali's side, they killed him. And he was martyred. May Allah the Almighty and Glorious shower his choicest blessings upon him. Ameen. So not Umar's remarkable foresight in knowing people. He saw greatness in him. And he did a remarkable job. He ended his life with martyrdom. And this report about Qa'ab lifting the mushaf is very important, because the scholars who research into history, they state that this was the first time the Quran was raised. Now, why is that important? Because if you look just a year later, there's a famous myth that's spread by shayateen and ignoramuses, and they state that Hazrat Amr ibn al-As told Muawiyah, we're trapped, so we need to do a trick. We have to lift the Qurans up, lift them up on your spears, and this will give us time to storm Sayyidina Ali's forces. And then tens of thousands of Qurans were raised up on the spears, and they stopped Sayyidina Ali's forces in their tracks. And then the Khawarij emerged. That is all jackanory. First of all, it contradicts the Sahih report. Because if you look at the reports, because this was the first time it was raised up, it wasn't raised up. Qa'ab ibn Isur was the one who raised the Quran up. He was martyred. This never happened. Right? So all that is a myth to slander the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever the case, I wanted to mention a little bit about this man. When you hear that before, you hear it quite often. When this woman emerges and Umar says, fantastic, you got a fantastic husband, and this man gives that remarkable judgment. It was this man, Qa'ab ibn Isur. A senior tabi'in, rahmatullah alayhi. So Nur Umar loved people of knowledge. He had them around him. Indeed, the men of knowledge who frequented the presence of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu resembled the very angels. For Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said in his Muwatta, number 1626, it has reached me that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said, I like to see learned men in white clothes. I like to see learned men in white clothes. So let's look at this. So Imam Malik said, it has reached me. So obviously from the Tabi'in, he was the Tabi'in Tabi'in. And Umar radiyallahu anhu, he made this, he didn't order it, but he recommended it. I like to see learned men in white clothes. So if you were to see the blessed gathering, you'd see, it were like angels, they were like angels around him. Not forgetting that many of the noble companions, including Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, had once seen no other than the archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in the guise of an immaculate Bedouin, wearing spotless white clothes when asking his famous questions to our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. This is why Umar loved that, because he remembered Jibreel. He goes, he asked the most intelligent questions. Why didn't he come in white? So note, this is also something favored by the ulama. The learned should wear white. But there's no harm in wearing other colors. Keep away from red. Conversely, if judges would fail in their judgments, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, due to his high standards, would dismiss them without question. Consider the following most informative report. So he set a very high standard, Sayyidina Umar. If he knew that a judge failed in his reduction, he would dismiss him. For instance, Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Istiyab, volume 1, page 359. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh in his Sira, page 83 to 4. Abu al-Bakhtari rahmatullah alayh, he relates. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he once appointed a person who was called Habis ibn Sa'ad Ta'i radiyallahu, he was the son-in-law of Adi ibn Hatim, as a judge of Hibs. So let's explain this. So Umar, obviously, he needs to have people of knowledge judging over people over the vast Islamic state. So Hims is in the now area of Syria. He goes, you become the judge of Hims. And this man was a Sahab, Habis ibn Sa'ad Ta'i, who is not famous. His father-in-law is famous, Adi ibn Hatim. Adi ibn Hatim was a Christian who embraced Islam in the lifetime of the Prophet. So his son-in-law became the judge of Hims. But Umar asked him, radiyallahu, O Habis, radiyallahu, how would you decide your cases? Please tell me. And I've summarized, he replied, the Quran, the Sunnah, and then I will strive to use my reasoning, ijtihad. Umar radiyallahu said, you have answered correctly, you have answered excellently. So what happened? Thereafter, Habis did not go to the post. He failed to go. When Umar radiallahu anhu was informed of this, he called him. Why did you not go to your post as the Qadi? Habis radiallahu anhu said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, I have seen a dream and it has put the fear of God into my heart. In other words, something terrible I've seen. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked, tell me about this dream. So Habis radiallahu anhu said, I saw the sun and the moon fighting with each other. I saw the sun coming from the east with a huge crowd. And I saw the moon coming from the west with a huge crowd. And thereafter they collided with each other. And there was a ferocious fight. Umar radiallahu anhu, upon reflection, he asked, O Habis radiallahu anhu, which side were you on? He replied, I was on the side of the moon, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon recited the following holy verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, verse 12. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرًا. And we have made the night and the day as two signs. We have dimmed the sign of the night and brightened the sign of the day. After that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, you were with the moon, which was in the west of the sun. Give back our command with which you were appointed with. Atta Rahmatullah Ali added, I learned later Habis radiyallahu was with Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu in the Battle of Siffin, and he was martyred during that battle. So something incredible happened. So Habis, he's had the dream, and from his knowledge, he knew something was wrong. Clearly, he goes, something I'm fearing. And the dream simply was the sun and moon collided with a huge force. He was on the side of the moon. When Umar heard that, he wasn't happy because his judgment failed. He should have been on Sayyidina Ali's side. And what did he use as a proof for the interpretation of that dream? The Quran. And what did Sayyidina Umar recite? We have made the night and the day as ayatain. They're both signs. Surah 17, verse 12. We have made the night and the day as two signs. Hazrat Ali is a sign. Hazrat Muawiyah is a sign. But then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? We have dimmed the sign of the night. And we have brightened the sign of the day. Meaning, they are both sources of light. But the moon can never compare to the sun. So Hazrat Umar goes, hand back your appointment. So imagine poor Habis is thinking, been in question, gave his appointment back. The sub-narrator Atta said, he joined Hazrat Muawiyah, he was martyred during that battle in Siffin. Note how subhanallah Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu is described as the moon in the above dream, which in the Quran, Allah the Almighty refers to as a sign, which Umar quoted radiyallahu anhu, indicating he was upon truth. But a lesser extent than the glorious son of Islam, Sayyidina Ali. Also note that the moon does not have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun through which other people are guided. SubhanAllah, another beautiful description between the senior and junior companions of our beloved Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In addition, note also Umar's endorsement of his father-in-law, Sayyidina Ali's stance, and displeasure of those who sided against him. Allahu Akbar, the endless lessons from Sayyidina Umar's incredible life. So he knew about Siffin. Imagine somebody asks you that question, did Umar know about Siffin? I think, what a strange question. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen passed away, because Siffin came, 15, 20 years later. What would he know about Siffin? He knew about it. But he was also favoring Sayyidina Ali, because he's been referred to. Also, when there's a report in Al-Bidayah, Sahih Hadith, after the Battle of Siffin, or during the Battle of Siffin, when there was a lull, Hazrat Ali was walking and there was martyrs. And somebody pointed out Habis. He goes, do you know who that is, Amir al-Mu'mineen? And Hazrat Ali saw him and he grieved, because this is Habis, who had the dream in the time of Sayyidina Umar. Hazrat Ali knew the dream as well. He goes, this was the man that Umar gave the appointment to, but then took it away. So note, Hazrat Ali had nothing against them. He knew that they had their ijtihad, and what they thought they were doing was correct. And they were correct to a lesser extent. In continuation, conversely, the Amir al-Mu'mineen would be irritated by the ignorant. Now there's two types of ignorance. One is, this is why there's a hadith. The hadith mentions, silence is an adornment for the scholar. It's a hijab for the ignorant. That's a hadith in Bayhaq. So if you don't talk, if you're a learned person, it beautifies you. If you're an idiot, it protects you. And that's why you just keep quiet. Say, look, I'm an idiot, I'm not going to talk. And people can't, like they say, they can't suss you out because you're keeping quiet. So Umar, he had no problem with those who kept quiet, knowing they were foolish. But he would be troubled by those who spoke, who were ignorant. So know the difference. He's not talking about those who kept quiet. In Imam Malik's Muwatta number 469 in the chapter on the Quran, Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu was attendant amongst a group of people reciting the Quran. Shortly thereafter, he went for a call of nature. So like I mentioned, Sayyidina Umar loved the Qaris. He would sit with them and he would listen to the Quran. But after a short while, he went, for the call of nature. When he returned, Sayyidina Umar started to recite the Quran. A man thereupon said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ataqra'u al-Qur'ana walasta ala wudu? Are you reciting the Qur'an without performing wudu? To which he replied, Manaftaqa bihada Musaylima. Who gave you that fatwa? Was it Musaylima? Subhanallah. Manaftaqa bihada Musaylima. Who gave you this fatwa? Was it Musaylima? So look at his irritance of these people. So what does imagine? This man says to Amir al-Mu'mineen, well, you haven't done wudu. You can't recite Quran without wudu. So what did he say to him? He goes, oh, did Musaylima give you that fatwa? Meaning the false prophet, he's got another shariat. Maybe you're following him. So what does that tell you? He was irritated by people like this. If he had kept quiet, no problem. Just keep quiet. But when person speaks, takes the hijab away, he didn't just say, and look at the real, you know, venom in the words he was saying. Did Musaylima give you that fatwa? Imagine we said that to somebody. Brother, do you know that this is? Did Musaylima give you that fatwa? Well, you're actually telling the calling that person. An apostate. Meaning this is how grave it is to speak without knowledge. And yes, in case you're wondering, you can recite the Quran without wudu. But that's reciting, not twitching the Quran. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would also be irritated by the prattlers. Those who are long-winded. This irritated him as well. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in his checking of Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad number 876. Anas radiallahu anhu, he relates, a man made a lengthy speech in the presence of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he went on, I at length. Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon said, in kathrat al-kalami fil khatabati fil khatabi min shaqa shiqish shaitan. Verily too many words in speech comes out of the prattling of shaitan. In kathrat al-kalam fil khatabi min shaqa shiqish shaitan. Verily too many words in oration comes out of the prattling of shaitan. So let's look at this. So this is a sahih hadith in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So this man's giving a sermon. He's encouraging others to good. But he's not stopping. He's not getting to the point. So note again, did he irritate Umar? He did. And he didn't address the man, but you know, obviously he was referring to him. He goes, too many words in khatabi, in sermons, is from the prattling of shaitan. And what do we say in today's day and age? Get on with it, brother. Get to the point. Get to the point. Now, a person goes, we shouldn't say that. But this is Sayyidina Umar. He's teaching you. But note, it was to do with the deen. If it's to do with the deen, be, you know, to the point. And this is, again, so note, two types of people would irritate Sayyidina Umar. One, who would speak ignorantly. And the other is who would, you know, basically prattle. And he didn't say there's something wrong with it. He said this is from shaitan. Look how interesting. A person's encouraging you to Islam. And yet now, who's actually talking? Shaitan. So why did Umar say that? When a person's quoting the Quran, the Sunnah, let's say, where he's going on and on. The reason is because it puts a person off. You know, it's, you know, a person doesn't get to the point. You know, sometimes you hear to an entire discourse, and then after that you think, what exactly was he telling us? You know, how many times you go, for example, to a Jummah khutbah? What was the khutbah about? And you struggle. You go, I think it was about character. Why are you struggling? Because he's going east, west, north, south, next door neighbors, right? Leather socks, istinja, right? You think, what's happening? And there you go. He's not getting to the point. And that's why the Prophet himself, one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, was that he was given conciseness of speech. Meaning he was the most eloquent. And he would get to the point, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going back to the first report, how did that woman get her point across? Look how eloquent she was. And that's why Umar was happy with people like that, because they were, you know, eloquent to the point, and sometimes using sublime words instead of more, you know, obvious crude words. Another thing which irritated Sayyidina Umar radiallahu was that people unnecessarily speaking or wasting time after the Isha. In Qurtubi, it is Tafsir, volume 13, page 138. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, he used to strike people who engaged in unnecessary conversation after the Isha Salah. He would say to them, "You are engaging in talks now and will then remain sleeping during the latter portion of the night." So let's look at this. So these people were talking, you know, they weren't sinning, but they were just talking after the Isha. Why did Umar get angry with these people? Because they weren't getting up for Tahajjud. Not Fajr. Because you won't get up in the latter portion of the night. So straight away, this hadith is problematic for us. Why? Because most of us, do we pray Tahajjud? So how can you guard something you're not doing? So this is the first thing to point out. But what we can take from this is, it affects our Fajr. Umar will probably take your head off if you miss Fajr, if you start prattling. So note, he would strike, then he would explain. He goes, this is dangerous. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu in Sahih Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam detested engaging in talk after the Isha Salah. He goes, he did not like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the same theme. And similarly, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha said, in Ahmad in his Musnad 6-264, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never slept before Isha, nor did he engage in discussions after Isha. So all of this is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, are there any exceptions? So the obvious exceptions, the scholars point out, is your family. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk with his wife during the night. He didn't say to them, no talking. So obviously, it's sunnah to speak with your own family members. Secondly, if you're doing good, right? For example, you know, you might be in itikaf and people are coming to visit, fine. But the key point is, the maqsad of this was to protect the tahajjud and of course certainly the fajr. So if you are offering the fajr without fail, the stressness goes away from this command. And of course the tahajjud. But if it affects your fajr, you deserve a strike. You should know better than to stay up. And something which is now, you know, putting an obligation in jeopardy. So note, Sayyidina Umar, from his example, he was teaching the people, you know, through, you know, various aspects of our glorious deen, in terms of speech, in terms of knowledge, and of course, in terms of protecting what is important. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was again a few blessed reports from the great life of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, in which we learn many a valuable lesson. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr.